Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
We are back here on Rutherford Issues, powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. Since 1936, MTE has provided light, comfort, and connection to our community. And as your trusted energy advisor, MTE is always here to help you. Connect online at MTE.com or download the My MTE app. Time to talk about Rutherford County Pause, our first conversation of a brand new year. Sebastian Jordan is here and Steve Edwards joins as well. And I guess it's kind of late to say Happy New Year, but Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Our first time seeing you. So
yes, it is.
It counts.
So, Sebastian, you were telling me that the new year does bring a few changes
this
pause. So
yeah,
we're going to talk a little bit about that in just a second. But you had some very cheerful news to pass along. Two of your, I guess, long-term residents.
Yes.
They found their forever homes, hopefully,
they
here.
They did, yeah. In this past week, Baby, who is a seven-year-old German Shepherd mix, she's been at the shelter since August. She was adopted. And then the next one, Zeus, who was a... we have him listed as an Alaskan Husky and Spitz mix. He was also adopted this past week and had been at the shelter since August.
Oh, wow.
So yeah.
So that's typically what you think of as long term. That's several months there, right?
Yeah, because the goal is to really get them out, you know, within ideally a few weeks, as quick as possible. Once it passes a month, 2 months, then they're long-term residents.
Yeah. You kind of get attached when they're that long, don't you?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, the staff and the volunteers start to see them regularly and take them out and play with them and get to know those.
Yeah.
So it's always, you know, sad saying goodbye, but it's good that they finally got a home.
Yeah, and probably those who helped to care for them and all the many people that maybe thought about adopting and then finally it happened. So that's a pretty cool deal there. So
yeah.
In terms of, yeah, I mean, can you go online to the PAWS website or whatnot to see some of the animals that are there at the shelter?
Yeah, that is actually hooked up directly to our software. So whenever we have an animal come in, their picture is taken and that is uploaded live to the website for stray animals and adoptable animals. There's two different pages. So yeah, definitely check that out.
So if you're looking to adopt, you know, and go through that process, that would be a place that you could check out before you even go.
Mm-hmm.
And for lost animals, is that a place where, you know, if someone has lost an animal that maybe you should go and check out?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got our stray page that shows all of those animals that come in. And then we've got a lost and found pet page that has some resources and kind of, you know, the process for helping reunite those animals.
Okay.
So another change this year, we've switched from asking people to fill out paperwork, because before, when you lost your pet, we had a form on the site. People could print that, fill it out, and then scan it or email it and fax it to us. And so a lot of steps, a lot more paperwork, and wasn't necessarily leading to more reunification. So as of this week, we've switched to leaning on another service, Petco Love Lost, which is part of Petco's nonprofit. So you go there, you put in where you lost your pet, the address that they were last seen, the date that you lost them, and a picture. And that goes into that database and pulls from multiple different sources. It's hooked up to our shelter, other shelters, next door, things like that.
Okay.
And shows all of the pets that match that search. So hopefully that, you know, helps lead to more reunification, cuts down on some of the paperwork and the steps involved. And
yeah,
gets you directly seeing all the pets
that
have been lost.
Sounds like that it's, you know, much more collaborative with all of those sources coming in, you know.
Yeah.
So and that's for lost or found. So
yes,
if you've found a stray animal and, you know, can put that information out there, it could help lead to reuniting. But
yeah,
I guess you could also search to see, you know, if you lived in the Blackman area and you found Black Chihuahua and you look on that site. How do you get to that, by the way?
It is petcolove.org/lost.
Okay.
We've also got a link on our site on the Lost and Found pet page.
Okay.
And we have implemented a new thing. We've got a tablet in our lobby specifically set up for accessing that. So if people, you know, come to the shelter, check the stray area to see if they have found their pet, or we found their pet, on their way out, if, you know, their pet wasn't at paws, they can stop at that tablet and quickly just input the information and have that go in there.
Mm-hmm. And so that's, if there is a stray that comes in, does it go onto that page too? Do you all use that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So that is automatic. So any stray that we get, it goes to our website on the stray page and to Petco Love Lost.
Very good.
Yeah.
So that's cool. I hope, hopefully that will help, reunite more.
Yeah, that's the goal. Hopefully, yeah. You know, get them off the streets and get them back in their homes.
Yeah. Unfortunately, sometimes that is a very difficult thing. I've seen a lot of, especially with newer technologies, you know, like a tracker and things of that nature, that so it is definitely a pretty big business, you know, to try to do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So microchipping is always very important.
Yes. Highly recommended.
Yeah. So what happens if an animal comes in, you check for the microchip, does that microchip tell you, it gives you the contact information, I guess,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it gives the registration for when the animal was first adopted with the microchip.
Very good.
So phone number, address, and who inserted the microchip as well. So the registration. So if, you know, an owner gives the pet away or rehomes it and doesn't update that information, we can go to the microchip issuer and see if, you know, they know any kind of information about the chain of custody for that animal.
Very important to update that.
Yes.
You know, like if you move, something like that, phone numbers, contact information. So
absolutely.
Just had my pup over right after Christmas. He got his microchip and he's ready to go. So you never know about that wild animal. But anyway, speaking of wild animals, Steve Edwards is here.
Hello.
How'd you like that?
I like that. Yeah, I like that a lot.
The cat man, you had to bring the handler with you today, though, I noticed.
Yeah. Yep.
You've been out of control in this new year?
Oh, I stay out of control.
So how's it been going with all the volunteers there at PAWS?
We need more. We still don't have a volunteer coordinator, but Sebastian is helping out with that. And just taking care of cats. And, you know, I had a couple yesterday that I haven't been able to get them to come out of the kennel is two separate sections. One side is the litter side, and the other side is like for the display, because there's a glass that you can see from the lobby.
Mm-hmm.
And these two cats are a bonded pair. They're same age, probably brothers. But they never would come out and let me pet them. Well, yesterday, I got to messing with them, and one of them came out. And the gray one, that was the orange one, the gray one wouldn't come out for nothing. And finally, he came out when I got a little toy with feathers on it, and then they both started playing. And that's just exciting to me to get them to come that far, because the first time I saw them was last week. And like I said, it was good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Cats are a little bit different when, you know, they're not in their habitat for whatever reason. Strangers. Yep. It takes a lot to gain a trust,
really
from a cat, doesn't it?
And you know, the dogs are kind of the same way.
Yeah.
You know, because they're in a kennel, you know, it's not that big. And I mean, they have room to, but they get taken out and get walks, you know. The employees there take them out and, you know, let them run and play and throw a ball and this and that. So they get their exercise.
You don't walk a cat, though.
No, you don't walk a cat. You know, cats are cats.
Yeah. It's just amazing how completely different animals that they are, you know. And, I think a lot of people, you're either a dog person or a cat person. It's hard to be both. Now, my daughter is, and I see where you pointed there, but my daughter, it doesn't matter what kind of animal it is. I mean, she had, my father had goats at his place, and she had pet goats and chickens. And so, I mean, she wants a donkey for some reason. I don't know. But so some people are just animal people, period. But Are you a dog or cat or dog and cat person or I'm just a cat man?
Mostly a cat person.
Cat man.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm the cat man.
Well, I guess the name works. Yeah. So, volunteering at PAWS, pretty easy to do, isn't it?
Very easy to do. You just go in and you fill out an application and they look at it and they'll call you in and you go through the steps of you have to learn this and this and then you go into whatever you want to do. And it's very easy to schedule. You can go online on their website and schedule when you want to go in, what time. There's like different time slots that you can select, and you do that, and that way, you know, there's not two people there and nobody there before or after,
right.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'll go in and click my time that I want to go in, which is usually 2 to 4, and so I click the day and the time, and I'm in.
And he's there like clockwork, right, Sebastian?
Yes, he is.
Don't have to worry about that.
No, he needs very little coordination.
Yeah, yes. That's good to have trained volunteers that way, isn't it?
I think I'm the oldest volunteer there, not age-wise, but length-wise.
You've done it longer than...
Yeah, going on almost three years.
Yeah. Well, something keeps bringing you back.
Yeah, the cats. When I go home, I have to change shirts because I have cat hair all over my volunteer shirt.
Oh, yeah?
And so I have to change shirts. Otherwise, my cats get kind of ticked off.
Oh, I bet.
So
yeah.
Can't have that.
No, I'm sure you're reprimanded by the cats every now and then, right? Sebastian, for those who... I did have this real quick question about surrendering animals. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been reading a lot about people are... You know, if they got an animal over the holidays, now they're trying to surrender animals. So that's not really something that is a frequent thing at PAWS, is it?
It happens pretty often. We take in 20 to 60 animals per day. A lot of those are found as strays, but a good chunk can be surrenders. We do surrender by appointment only, though, just to, you know, try to reduce stress for everyone involved and make sure one animal in at a time and they kind of get acclimated to that environment.
Otherwise there's an influx, you know,
yeah,
20
you
at
want,
a time or
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Yeah. Freaking out all at once.
Well, appreciate the work that you guys do. Rutherford County PAWS. You can get to Rutherford County PAWS from the Rutherford County website, government website. And we'll put a link on the podcast as well coming up. And Steve, you want to tell us who came with you today? I know she didn't want to talk, but
yeah, she don't want to talk, but it's my wife. We've been married for quite a while. Got an anniversary coming up.
All right.
And we're both retired and both do volunteer work and just living the dream.
Well, that sounds fun. Well,
hanging out with kitty cats.
Have a happy anniversary coming up. I don't know how you do it. But anyway, thanks for joining us here on the show today. And we'll be back here next time for Rutherford Issues.